Good morning, church. Today we will be talking about the practical steps to holiness in Christ. 1 Peter 1:15 and 16 says, "But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" Let us pray. Father, as we open up the pages of your word today, we pray that your Holy Spirit will give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding as we study today. And we thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. My friends, God is our pattern of holiness. Although we must imitate him, we cannot equal him. For God is absolute in holiness. As the suit that we men wear is a reflection of the pattern that's made by, so our lives should be a reflection of the one who saved us. God does not conform to a standard. Friends, he is the standard. God is immediately holy from all eternity. His holiness is not derived. Throughout the Bible, the term holy has several meanings. Probably the most well-known meaning of holiness is set apart. Now, this could apply to a person who is bound to God or even to a place where God is present, such as the Old Testament tabernacle. Holy is also used in the context of perfection or purity. In these cases, the word is often used to describe God himself or his people. Now, what holy is not is unattainable or self-righteous. Many people have thrown around the term holier than thou in reference to someone who is overtly confident in his or her fleshly efforts toward morality. To be truly holy is to be humble. Christ is the embodiment of holiness, and humility is one of his key traits. Now, there are also those who associate the word holy with something that is unrealistic. When the Bible tells us in 1 Peter 1, verse 15, to be holy, it is intended to be something for which to strive. God knows we are not perfect, but his desire for us is to grow, to become more like his Son, Jesus. And as time passes, and as we mature in our faith, we grow, should be growing more holy. In essence, holiness is God's priority for our earthly lives. A disciple of Christ should always be careful not to place a higher value on being happy than on being holy. Yes, it gives our Heavenly Father pleasure for us to have happiness, but not at the cost of our personal holiness. Again, 1 Peter 1, verses 15 and 16 tells us, "But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" My friends, as believers, we are called to be holy. This is the clear teaching of the Bible. And if that is the case, then we must know the how-to of this calling. Now, for years I've had the burden to write out the steps to holiness in Christ Jesus that I have found to be practical in my own personal life. Now, the first thing we must realize is our desperate need of a relationship with God. I found out that without a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, my life had no real meaning, and the future looked hopeless. It was only after circumstances that brought me to the point in my life that I had nowhere else to look but up. Then, and only then, did I start on my journey with God. As a child, my mother and father would read to us children the Bible. Somehow that put into my thinking, when I was a grown man, and in dire circumstances, that I needed to find God. So that is the first step, realizing that God is our help in time of need. Psalm 55, verse 5. Remember, always and every time we read and study our Bibles, that God is our help in every time of need. Number one, we realize our need of and learn to love Scripture. Read and study our Bibles daily. Set aside a personal time, a special time, each day to spend time often with Jesus alone, studying Bible topics, letting Scripture explain itself. Early morning is the best time for me, as my mind is clear and rested from after a night's rest. And as we consistently read and study our Bibles, we have a tendency to love and appreciate the great sacrifice that our God has made for us to be saved from being eternally lost. The Bible teaches that by beholding, we become changed. 2 Corinthians 3:18. And the more I learn of Jesus and the Father, the more I love them. Scripture is God's primary road to holiness and spiritual growth. With the Holy Spirit as Master Teacher, blessing the reading and searching of God's Word is the best way. Jesus prayed, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your Word is truth." John 17:17. And Peter advised, "Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation." 1 Peter 2:2. My dear friends, read and study your Bible every day. Even more importantly, memorize the Scriptures. Psalm 119, verse 11. Search the Scriptures. John 5:39. And meditate upon them. Psalm 1, verse 2. And live and love them, Psalm 119 and Psalm 19:10. Compare Scripture with Scripture. Consider the words of Proverbs 2, verses 1 through 5, which says, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments, with you making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." In this passage, we find the principles of serious personal Bible study: teachability, receiving God's words; obedience, storing God's commandments in our heart; discipline, applying the heart; dependence, crying for knowledge; and perseverance, searching for hidden treasure. Friends, do not expect growth in holiness if you spend just a little time alone with God and do not take His word seriously. When you are plagued with a heart prone to be tempted away from holiness, let Scripture teach you how to live a holy life in an unholy world. And share your faith while praying persistently. I like to think of it as breathing the atmosphere of heaven while living in this wicked world below. Number two, Scripture is God's primary road to holiness and spiritual growth. With the Holy Spirit as the Master Teacher, blessing the reading and searching of God's Word, we cannot help but to learn. Jesus prayed, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." John 17:17. And Peter advised, "Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation." 1 Peter 2:2. Friends, read and study the Bible daily. Even more importantly, memorize the Scriptures. Psalm 119, verse 11. Search the Scriptures, John 5:39, and meditate upon them, Psalm 1, verse 2. Live and love them, Psalm 119 and 19:10. Oh yes, compare Scripture with Scripture. Take quality time to study the Word of God. Now please consider the words of Proverbs 2, verses 1 through 5, which says, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Now, in this passage, we find the principles of serious personal Bible study: teachability, receiving God's word; obedience, storing God's commandments; discipline, applying the heart; dependence, crying for knowledge; and perseverance, searching for hidden treasure. I've already mentioned that before, but I mention it again. My friends, do not expect growth in holiness if you spend a little time alone with God and do not take His word seriously. When you're plagued with the heart tempting you away from holiness, let Scripture teach you how to live a holy life in an unholy world. The Scriptures shine joy upon our sorrow, hope upon our discouragement, and light upon our darkness. They give direction for our confusion, certainty in our perplexity, strength in our weakness, and wisdom in our ignorance. And when we meditate upon the Word of God, and by faith trust its promises, God's life-giving power energizes our entire being physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. You see, the Reformers saturated their minds with Scripture. They lived by the Word, and many of them died because of the Word. They were not casual, complacent, careless Christians with a superficial devotional life. They knew that without the power of God's Word, they would not withstand the forces of evil arrayed against them. Number 3, practice your faith. Romans 12, verse 3 says that God has given to everyone the measure of faith. So how much is the measure of faith? Well, my friends, it's just enough to believe His word. So as we study and hear the word of God, our faith will grow stronger. Romans 10:17 tells us that faith comes by hearing the word of God. Number 4, consider yourself dead to sin and alive in Christ. Claim that promise. Regard yourself as dead to the dominion of sin and alive to God in Christ. Romans 6:11. The person who considers himself or herself dead to sin also searches their heart for idols in their life. Pray for strength to uproot any idols you may have in your life and cast them out. Many times we cannot even see those idols in our life. We have to ask God to show us the idols in our life. Number 5, strive for daily repentance toward God. Never rise above the publican's petition, "God be merciful to me, a sinner," Luke 18:13. Remember Luther's advice that God would have His people exercise lifelong repentance. Lifelong repentance. Furthermore, believe that Christ is mighty to preserve you alive by His Spirit. You live through union with Christ. Therefore, live unto righteousness, His righteousness. His righteousness is greater than your unrighteousness. His saving power is greater than your sinfulness. Don't be afraid to ask for His Holy Spirit to live within you. And always ask for the Holy Spirit to guide you as you open up and study God's Word. 1 John 4:4. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Do not despair, my friends. You are victorious in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Christ, the optimism of divine grace reigns over the pessimism of human nature. Now, number 6, we cultivate holiness through prayer and witnessing. Pray and look for ways to witness your dependence upon God for holiness. No one but God is sufficient to bring clean out of unclean, Job 14, verse 4. So pray with David, create in me a clean heart, O God, Psalm 51, 10. And as you pray, ask God for ways to witness to others about His love. Prayer and witnessing belong together. They're like two oars, which, when both are utilized, they will keep a rowboat moving forward. If you use only one oar, and if you pray without witnessing or you witness without praying, you will row in circles. Practice and share your faith while praying persistently. Number 7. Pray persistently. Holiness and prayer have much in common. Both are central to the Christian life and faith. They're obligatory, not optional. Both originate with God and focus on Him. Both are activated, often simultaneously, by the Holy Spirit of God. And neither can survive without the other. Both are learned by experience and through spiritual battles. Neither is perfected in this life, but must be cultivated lifelong. The most prayerful often feel themselves to be not prayerful enough. The most holy often regard themselves as unholy. When you begin to think you're pretty holy, you better be careful, because you're on dangerous ground. Prayer is a key in the hand of faith that unlocks heaven's storehouse. Oh, friends, if ever there was a time when every household should be a house of prayer, it is now. Fathers and mothers should often lift up their hearts to God in humble supplication for themselves and their children. The father, as priest of the household, should lay upon the altar of God the morning and evening sacrifice, leading out in morning worship, while the wife and children unite in prayer and praise. In such a household, Jesus will love to tarry. My friends, pray at home. Pray in your family. Pray at night and pray in the morning. Pray in your quiet time alone with God. And while engaged in your daily work, pray, lifting up your petitions to God in prayer. Your silent prayer will rise like holy incense to the throne of grace, and will be acceptable to God as if offered in church. Number 8. Holiness and work also have many ties and are closely related, especially the work of nurturing and persevering in personal discipline. Discipline takes time and effort. The Apostle Paul exhorted Timothy, "Train yourself for godliness," 1 Timothy 4:7. Holiness is not achieved carelessly or at once. Holiness is a call to a disciplined life which demands repentance and obedience. Holiness is costly grace. Grace that cost Jesus His life on the cross and cost the believer daily mortification. We don't practice cheap grace. Grace cost an awful lot. It cost Jesus' life. The Apostle Paul says that He died daily, 1 Corinthians 15:31, and you and I need to die daily to self. Number 9, when you fail, oh, do not despair. All of us fail. All of us fail so much. Holiness calls for continual commitment, continual diligence, continual practice, and continual repentance. If you sometimes, through weakness, fall into sin, and most of us do, you must not despair of God's mercy nor continue in sin. Never in the least slacken your fight with corruptions, however unsuccessful you may be. Failing and becoming a failure are two different matters. The believer recognizes he will often fail. Martin Luther said that the righteous man feels himself more often to be a loser than a victor in the struggle against sin, for the Lord lets him be tested and assailed to his utmost limits as gold is tested in a furnace. This, too, is an important component of holiness. The godly man will persevere even through his failures. Failure does not make him quit. It makes him repent the more earnestly and press on in the strength of the Holy Spirit. For the righteous fall 7 times and rises again, but the wicked stumble in times of calamity, Proverbs 24, verse 16. That promise has helped me many times to avoid discouragement, but to flee to the Lord Jesus for help. Let us never forget that the God we love loves holiness. This is why our Heavenly Father gives us chastening discipline, Hebrews 12, verses 5 and 6 and 10. Someone said, God would not rub so hard if it were not to wash out the dirt that is ingrained in our natures. So pray and work. But remember, we are utterly dependent upon Him in our prayers and also in our work. Philippians 2, verse 12 through 13. Number 10, we must flee worldliness. Now, what does it mean to flee worldliness? We run from it. We fight the flesh. We fight the self. We must strike out against the first appearance of the pride in our life and the lust in our flesh and the lust in our eyes and all forms of sinful worldliness as they knock on the door of our hearts and minds. If we ever open the door and allow them to roam about in our minds and take a foothold in our lives, they are already our masters. An old proverb says, as a thought is father to the wish, so the wish is father to the action. The material we read, the recreation and entertainment we engage in, the music we listen to, the friendships we form, and the conversations we have all affect our minds and ought to be judged in the context of Philippians 4, verse 8, which says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. My friends, let's walk in the Word, in God's Word, and not in the world. And as such, our witness will shine before the world, and we will glorify our Father in heaven and praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2 said, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. That word, that promise is not only talking about a man, it's talking about women too and children too. Number 11. We assemble together and worship in the church. If you want to cultivate a life of holiness, make sure you seek fellowship with other believers. A Christian life lived in isolation from other believers will in turn be defective. We cannot have a heavenly fellowship if we promote a hindering fellowship. The bottom line is this: you cannot cultivate holiness in Christ without the bride of Christ. Who is the bride of Christ? The church. That's why we need to go to church and associate with mentors in the church in holiness. Ephesians 4, verse 12 and 13. And 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. The church ought to be a fellowship of mutual care and a community of prayer. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7 and Acts 2, verse 42. If you meet a fellow believer whose godly walk you find admirable, converse and pray with such people, Colossians 3, 16, and Proverbs 13, verse 20. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Association promotes assimilation. A Christian life lived in isolation from other believers will, in turn, be defective. You and I cannot have a heavenly fellowship if we promote a hindering fellowship. Number 12. Finally, commit completely to God. Form habits of holiness. Pursue harmony and symmetry in holy living. Root out of our life all inconsistencies. By the grace of the Holy Spirit, and enjoy godly activities. Don't fall prey to the one more time syndrome. Postponed obedience is disobedience. Tomorrow's holiness is impurity now. Tomorrow's faith is unbelief now. Aim not to sin at all, 1 John 2:1. Ask for divine strength to bring every thought into captivity to Christ, 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 and 5. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he, Proverbs 23, verse 7. An old proverb says it this way, sow a thought, reap an act. Sow an act, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. Oh, friends, most people are controlled by their emotions and feelings. We should never allow our emotions and feelings to get out of control. Even our emotions can be controlled by our will. Our part is to put our will on the side of Christ. And when we yield our will to His will, Jesus immediately takes possession of us and works in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. And our nature is brought under the control of His Holy Spirit. And even our thoughts are subject to Him. Friends, if you cannot control your impulses, your emotions, as you may desire, you can control the will. And thus an entire change will be wrought in your life. When you yield up your will to Christ, your life is hid with Christ in God. It is allied to the power which is above all principalities and powers. And you have a strength from God that holds you fast to His strength, and a new life, even the life of faith, is possible to you. Believers are called to holiness in Christ Jesus. This is a clear teaching of the Bible. So in summary, we see that to achieve holiness in Christ Jesus, we should first realize our need of and learn to love Scripture. Second, Scripture is God's primary road to holiness and spiritual growth. Third, practice your faith. Fourth, consider yourself dead to sin and alive in Christ. Fifth, strive for daily repentance before God. Sixth, we cultivate holiness through prayer and witnessing. Seventh, pray persistently. Eighth, holiness and work also have many ties and are closely allied. And when you fail, number 9, when you fail, do not despair. And now number 10, we need to flee worldliness. And then number 11, we assemble together to worship in the church because Jesus says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And then finally, 12, commit completely to God, yield your will to Him, and He will direct your life. Now, let us strive to practice these 12 principles day by day continually. And let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, I know You have promised to give us a power and a strength to practice these 12 principles and help us day by day to think about them and not forget them and to live by them continually. Help us to love and serve You now, for of our own strength we can do nothing, but by claiming Your promises and depending upon Your Holy Spirit, we can live a life of holiness in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank You for answering prayer and delivering us from evil. In Jesus' name, amen.